Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
And we are back. This is another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and joining me as always is Mr. Matt Caraccio. Matt, welcome back.
Paul, I cannot wait after going through part one of the quarterback position. Here we are right back again for part two.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were with us with part one, we covered 8 draft-eligible prospects in great detail, breaking down strengths, weaknesses, arm talent, decision-making, how they play under pressure, scheme fit at the next level, NFL draft projection, and much more. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you missed that episode, make sure you get back there and listen to that because we're going to cover another 9 draft-eligible prospects tonight. We're going to give a little bit of a draft-eligible watch list, some underclassmen to keep on your radar, and then I'm going to deliver my top 10 at the quarterback position as well. Before we get started, here's a quick word from one of our new sponsors that we talked about on the last podcast. Do you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week. It's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to squadql.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android as well. So, Matt, let's get right into this evening. We finished off the first episode with Tyree Jackson. So we're going to kick off tonight with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is out of Duke. He's a redshirt junior. He's 6'4", 215 pounds. When I watched him play, there were some things that intrigued me. His size, his experience, his arm talent, and his athleticism. You know, he's got a great size with a good frame, can continue to add more weight and muscle as well to the position. Experience. He's been, you know, starting there and producing for a couple years now. So that's something that you like to see. his arm talent. I thought his arm talent was good to very good arm talent in terms of his velocity and his strength. He has the ability to make any throw, but is uncomfortable, I think, pushing the ball in the contested situations regularly. His athleticism is one of his calling cards. To me, he displays good to very good athleticism, seeing with his mobility to move around in and outside the pocket to extend the play and when rushing. He displays good quickness and agility on design runs up the middle or towards the outside. I kind of skipped over it. He had 518 yards rushing last year for 7 touchdowns. It was part of his productivity last year was on the ground game. The concern was a little bit with his decision-making and turnovers. He only had 14 touchdowns to 11 interceptions last year. So right at the top and a 56.7 completion percentage. Those are some of the concerns. Accuracy, overall production, the turnovers, his decision-making, pocket awareness, and his overall poise. You know, while I talked about his arm talent being able to make any throw, but not willing to push in the contested situations, I thought he was most comfortable with slant screens, crossing, or out routes. Think that he can get out quickly. I thought he showed average to solid accuracy on those. But anytime he started pushing the ball vertically down the field, outside the numbers, in the contested situations, his accuracy took a bad dip and really, you know, struggled to make plays. Did you see anything else, Matt, in terms of decision making, in terms of poise under pressure when you watched him?
I think you hit on all the really high points. I think that I saw him as a passer where I thought accuracy and ball placement and issues of that were kind of still developing. And I thought that his strongest areas really were the short to intermediate areas. But like you said, outside the numbers, there was a lot to be desired in terms of ball placement. I think poise was a big thing that, that we really need to kind of watch Jones develop as he goes down into his career this year. Because, listen, poise doesn't mean that he necessarily can't play under pressure. But the idea about poise is that ability to stay mentally tough and focused throughout the chaos that is a snap-to-snap situation in reality within a game. And I didn't see that really from Jones at times. I thought there were times where he mismanaged the pocket. I thought there were times where he could have really done a little bit better job in adjusting to find that secondary or tertiary read. And I think that that was a problem for him overall. So, I mean, listen, he's a guy that, I mean, like you, I'm sure, probably looking at a day 3 draft grade, probably looking at a developmental kind of guy. That's where I kind of sat on Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right there with you in terms of his NFL projection, his round grade. Listen, his combination of athleticism and enough arm talent makes him intriguing in today's NFL, which is, you know, changing it, what it used to, with more spread concepts, with more RPO concepts. I think there's a place for him in the NFL that maybe starts out as a third string or practice squad quarterback, could develop into a backup down the line possibly, you know, but I think you hit on it. That decision making, going through progressions, pocket awareness, reducing the number of sacks, the internal clock to know when to get rid of the ball, to limit sack or just throw it up for grabs that leads to interceptions. You know, being able to play, you know, under pressure, you know, and handle that pressure, you know, is something that he's going to have to work on. Because he does show an ability to make throws and make plays when the play breaks down. He just has to do it with more consistency. So it'll be interesting to see how he looks here, you know, this year. I doubt he's a guy who comes out early, to be honest with you. So I think we'll probably be talking about Jones, you know, next year as a redshirt senior as well. So let me transition this over to Brian Lewerke out of Michigan State. He's a redshirt junior. He's 6'2", 212 pounds. Last year, he led Michigan State with 2,793 yards passing, 59 completion percentage, 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and very athletic, you know, and takes off rushing. He had 559 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. A couple things with Lewerke right off the bat. He's got average size. You know, I think he could add a little bit more to his frame, you know, just to withstand the rigors of the hit he's going to take at the NFL level. Things that I really like about him, his athleticism, his mobility, his competitive toughness. You know, I think when he gets in rhythm, he's a very productive passer, you know, that you know, he's very comfortable, you know, when the offense is humming, you know. So I think, you know, in that type of quick strike, West Coast spread type rhythm passing offense, he's very productive in that regards. Some concerns I have, I think he's got to clean up his mechanics a little bit. At times, you know, he wasn't stepping into his throws. He was fading away. Vertically down the field, I have some questions about his consistency throwing, you know, vertical passes down the field outside the numbers. I thought his accuracy was probably solid, you know, above average to solid around that range. I liked him more in the short to intermediate range. I think it waned a little bit when we pushed the ball vertically down the field or outside the numbers. I thought he was most comfortable on like the slant screen crosses, things like that. He's got to be able to show me a little bit more ability to throw with anticipation and touch. I saw it in some games, and I didn't see it in other games. I think one of my biggest question marks for him, you know, is some of his inconsistency. I mean, you watch him in some games, you know, you watch him against Penn State, you know, you watch him, you know, in the bowl game, and he looks so impressive at times. And then you watch him in other games, and you're like, it's hard to believe it's the same quarterback, to be honest with you. You know, so there's some things I like about him. There's some things that, you know, I question, you know, about him. His athleticism, though, is definitely a calling card. It's definitely, you know, good to very good in terms of, you know, his quickness, his ability to get outside the pocket and make plays rushing, his ability to keep plays alive, play off structure. There's a little bit of Sam Darnold in him in the way he plays at times, you know, in certain games at Michigan State in terms of that ability to play off script, and has, you know, athleticism that maybe you don't realize at first when you first watch him play, but it's there. You know, I think at the next level, again, get him some type of offense that's rhythm-based passing. I think he can run RPOs. I think he can play a West Coast or spread type game. I think he might even be productive in a tempo, you know, an up-tempo type passing game where he can get into that rhythm that I think he's at his best. You can move the launch point with him. I think he's probably a late day two to early day three. I kind of put him in the mix, maybe slightly above, and I'll talk about my rankings later, but, you know, slightly above maybe the prospect I thought of like Jake Bentley and Nick Fitzgerald. There's some good, there's some concerns, and I think this year will go a long way in kind of sorting out, you know, that second tier of guys for me after I have pretty much like a clear top four or five or so, and then I think it's very jumbled in the next tier.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with really much of what you said. I think you hit on all the high points, and in fact, you stole my thunder when you said he reminds you a little of Sam Darnold. I mean, he really does at times, and I think that that's just kind of a testament to the style of game that he plays. I think there's a little bit more aggressiveness to his game, not as much recklessness or negligence in terms of his decision making. I think he's trying to make something. You know, when you look at that Nick, you know, when you look at that Michigan State team, and I think this goes, you know, Paul, I mean, after watching Josh Allen this past year, I think we should all, as evaluators, especially of the quarterback position, should have appreciation for that idea of being aggressive because of what you have around you. I mean, listen, it's very early in Allen's tenure, but we could see that once everybody around Allen improved dramatically in terms of their overall capabilities, meaning he went to that NFL environment, Josh Allen's translated so far. At least in terms of being able to make plays and being able to be, you know, a potentially functional quarterback. So, you know, he's in that situation too. Michigan State really hasn't been at the height of its heights in the last few years. And Brian Lewerke, I got to be honest with you, I really liked his game. I see him very much in, if you like, and you said Jake Bentley, which I thought was hilarious too. If you like Jake Bentley, my thing is you should really like Brian Lewerke, because I think Brian Lewerke is a little bit of an underappreciated and underrated quarterback in the space. I think his short to intermediate passing game is good. I agree with you. I think pushing the ball vertically deep has as much to do with maybe the timing of his offense as much as it had to do with him. His athleticism, I think, is absolutely underrated. And that's not to say that he's going to be RG3 or Lamar Jackson. It's just to say that, like you said, Sam Darnold, they can get you the yards when they need to, when it's absolutely necessary, but they want to win with their arm first. And I think it's going to be a very big season for him. He's a guy that I'm proactively watching, and he's a guy that could end up higher than many think, I think, when all the dust settles.
Yeah, I think you're right there. You know, again, it's always interesting to see who, you know, is he thinking good year and I get out of there? Or is he thinking, you know, 4 years, gonna you know, finish out my college career, you know, play in one of those college all-star senior bowl games probably, you know, and then go from there? It's always one of those fascinating things. And sometimes with the quarterback position, it's hard to kind of get a read on that. So,
well, Michigan State, I mean, just Michigan State retains guys. They really do. Michigan State tends to get a lot of guys going full senior, and that has a lot to do with their philosophy about, like, development. They really develop guys, so I would be shocked if he stays.
I'm right there with you, to be honest with you, and especially since he's a little bit under the radar, I think that'll change this year, you know, but it might end up on how their team is doing and see from there. So let's take this over to one of the more polarizing quarterback prospects in this class, and that is Drew Lock out of Missouri. He's a senior. He's 6'3". He's 225 pounds. His stat line looks like you're reading it off a Madden season. It's 3,695 yards, 58.2 completion percentage, but 43 touchdowns and only 12 interceptions. You know, right off the hoof, strengths, his arm talent. His arm talent, I think, is no exaggeration. I don't think it's that far off of what we thought about Josh Allen last year. I think it's great to elite in terms of his arm talent, in terms of velocity and strength. I think it's a little bit below Josh Allen, but I still think, but Josh Allen was so rare that I was comfortable saying his velocity and strength was in that great to elite category. Obviously, he's got good size. Experience being a starter there for a couple of years. He shows good competitive toughness, willing to stay in the pocket, take a hit. And I think for a guy sometimes where you look at that completion percentage and sometimes you think, oh, he can't throw a touch. I actually think, you know, Drew Lock is a guy who does throw with a decent amount of touch. You know, when I watched him play, you know, I already talked about the elite, you know, velocity and arm strength. I think he shows the ability to make every NFL throw, you know, and regularly pushes the ball vertically down the field, outside the numbers, into contested situations, which allows his receiver, you know, to, you know, make the play and go up and make the play. I saw an ability to show him throwing with touch or lead his receivers when it's needed. You know, so to me, you know, I see all of that of his game. And, you know, I also talked about, you know, having that touch, especially near the red zone, I think is so important for a quarterback with his type of arm talent. Matt, before I talk about some of his, you know, some of my issues, anything else that you saw on the positives, or if you want to bring up an issue in terms of, you know, some concerns you might have? Obviously, that 58.2 percentage jumps out at us. We just went through this with Josh Allen, who was at 56.5. Do you think it's a big issue? Do you think it's something that could improve? Or right now you're just taking note of it, but you're not dinging him so much that people wanted to do Josh Allen last year?
No, So to hit on some of his good things, I do agree with you in terms of his arm strength. I think right now in college football, there are a few that approximate the type of arm strength that he demonstrates within a play structure. And again, I'm sure there's plenty of guys in the practice field that can hurl it just as far. What I'm saying, though, is that within the context of a game, there are a few out there that have his arm strength. So that idea of being able to propel the football with velocity down the football field to great extents outside the numbers, between the numbers, that is definitely a major strength of his. Like you said, I mean, listen, I think that his quick release and his ability to throw at various arm angles is really one of the reasons why I find him such a dynamic player. Again, when I look at quarterbacks, I want to look for more of, and again, this goes back to a little bit of that skill acquisition that we did over the summer. I prefer to look for a guy who can distribute the football much like a shortstop can distribute the ball on a baseball field. They can throw from various arm angles. They can move on and off platform. When they can set their throw, obviously, that's when they can really gun it towards first base. Well, that's when a quarterback usually can really put it where he wants to, so to speak, you know, on the football field. But that's not the reality of a normal situation. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You got to keep reestablishing and establishing platforms. And that's where, you know, I think he's capable of doing that. But I do think that the impact here is there's a little bit of a cascading effect. I think his accuracy overall leaves something to be desired. I still think there's got to be some improvement there as we go into the season, and I'd like to see that to continue to improve. In terms of why his completion percentage is low, or lower, and again, this goes back to the Josh Allen discussion, I do think that when you look at it, you know, I think you look at the team in totality, you know, listen, Missouri is never going to get the same prospects in the SEC that teams like Alabama, LSU, and Auburn are going to get. It's just not going to happen. So I feel like as a school, you know, Missouri in the SEC is always trying to develop their players and continue to work with them. And it's the reason why I think if you actually look at Drew Locke over the course of his career, you've seen tremendous improvement from his abilities going down the line. And a lot of that, I think, is having to do with, again, this idea that the players and parts around him, too, are all developing. So I'm thinking that this year, his senior year, this is an opportunity maybe for Drew Locke to maybe take a step forward. But I do think that as of right now, I think he gets aggressive at times. He tries to push those balls in tight windows. And I think a lot of that goes back to, again, that Josh Allen discussion where you're trying to make things happen for your team. I still continue to think about how to value that in the larger context of the actual quarterback, but I like the aggressiveness. So I don't want to kind of stunt him in that way. But I do think that this is something that accuracy, decision making, those are areas that I want to see as he develops this year where he ends up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on. I think those are valid concerns. And listen, they're not all that different than when we had those same concerns last year about Josh Allen. But I think where we took a different approach last year than many people was we understood that he had some traits and some characteristics that you can't teach, that the NFL was going to be enamored with, and that you had to cater to it. Now, listen, we've already seen Josh Allen. Now, again, I'm not going to say two preseason games means that me and you were right, and Sig Bloom and Sig Bloom was right, and all the people that were knocking Josh Allen were wrong, because it's two games. He could still, you know, be a dumpster fire once the regular season starts and his career goes on. But what we started to see is that the things that he did in the NFL, college, are already translating to the NFL. So now it's, can he continue to refine the areas of concern? You know, and I think that's the same thing with Locke. His arm talent is going to transfer. You know, that stuff, his competitive toughness, that stuff's going to transfer. Can you cater an offense to, you know, basically hide some of his deficiencies, and maybe hopefully he refines them over this last year and then at the NFL level? Because you talked about progression reading, some decision-making stuff, some accuracy, being too aggressive at times. They're all things that have to be concerned. Honestly, I think that stuff is going to be okay. To me, the one biggest concern I have is that he is a statue inside the pocket. You know, the days of the traditional pocket passer are long gone, to be frankly honest. But his athleticism is below average to average at absolute best. You know, lack of mobility within the pocket or to extend the plays, you just don't see it. He's a traditional pocket passing quarterback that looks very uncomfortable to me throwing on the run. But I think you put him in a vertical base passing spread offense, enables him to get the ball out quickly and also take plenty of shots vertically down the field. I think he's going to starting caliber traits. I think he's going to probably be a round one pick, to be honest with you, at the NFL level. Maybe if he has a little bit of a bad year, he could, you know, fall a little bit into round two. So that's kind of what my take is on Drew Locke. So let's transition it over to the next guy, and that's Trace McSorley out of Penn State. He's a redshirt senior. He's 6 feet tall, 195 pounds. Last year, he threw for 3,570 yards, 66.5 completion percentage, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and also added 491 yards rushing with 10 rushing touchdowns. Strengths of his athleticism, playing out structure, his rushing ability, he throws a good touch in anticipation, experience as a starter, his production level has all been top-notch, you know, at a big-time university. Some concerns. That size and frame, 6'1", 195. I mean, I know, you know, we've seen the position at the quarterback change, you know, recently, but still, you know, that size and frame is definitely a question mark that has to be brought up. You know, his overall arm talent and his decision making. You know, if you break them down a little bit, you know, to me, the athleticism thing is one of his calling cards. I see good to very good athleticism with his mobility inside and outside of the pocket, his ability to extend plays. Shows quickness and elusiveness on design runs, and when the play breaks down, he takes off. You know, while that's one of his strengths, you know, one of the concerns is that arm talent. To me, it's below average to average in terms of velocity and strength. I see him struggle to make NFL throws outside the numbers, vertically down the field, or into contested situations. I do see good to very good accuracy in the short to intermediate range, especially on slant screens and crosses. But to me, below average accuracy on vertical passes and passes outside the numbers. Obviously, that's a concern at the next level. I do, like I mentioned before, I do think he shows good touch and anticipation, especially on fade routes. I think it's the decision-making and his lack of progression reading that most concerns me. You know, to me, he's got to improve going through progressions to find second or third reads. He's got to improve his pocket awareness and not take off and run at the first sign of pressure or when his first read's not there. I think he's got to clean up his footwork and his mechanics a little bit, make sure he's stepping into his throws. If he can do that, I do think his ability to play off structure, his athleticism, his movement skills, I do think enable him to be an NFL type, you know, third string type quarterback, start out on the practice squad, you know, try to develop his skills. There are a lot of teams, you know, that play up tempo, spread, you know, offense, use of, you know, a lot of short to intermediate throws, RPO, zone read concepts. I think that's what he can do at the next level. I just don't know with his size and frame limitations and his arm talent limitations and the questions I have on decision-making, how it's really all going to come together on an NFL landscape.
Yeah, I kind of fall into many of the same buckets as you do. I mean, the things that really stood out to me is I think that the first thing that stood out to me, again, is that ability to play off structure. I think in terms of his size and frame, I think, again, we're talking about not a concern, because I refuse to step in that pod anymore, because I honestly believe that if Doug Flutie were playing right now, Paul, Doug Flutie could have been easily a top 10 pick. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that the complexion in that landscape is changing. And I think that, again, talking about that playing the shortstop position as an analogy, I think, you know, Trace McSorley gives you that in many ways. His ability to play off structure is something that I really am intrigued by. And I think that he could develop into a backup quarterback really for a team that has a player like a Russell Wilson or a Baker Mayfield or something of that nature, where, again, I think the backup's role has to be that they can win with him and that he can keep the entire playbook on time. And I think that if you are structuring a playbook with move out passing game, where you're moving out, rolling out, passing out outside of the actual tackles, that's where I think he can be effective. But I think that the limitations and the things that could hold him from reaching that type of ideal is, again, I don't think he has the arm strength that many of these other players do. I don't think he has that arm talent, especially in the deep areas of the field. So I think when you're talking about pushing the ball vertically, pushing it outside the numbers, I do think there are concerns there. I think he also, when it comes to, like you said, and I thought this was a really great point, when it comes to doing moving through progressions and having to work to your second read, I didn't see a lot of comfort doing that. I saw a little bit of hesitation and hesitancy inside the pocket. And that's where I think his biggest issue is. I think really moving and mechanically moving inside the pocket is something that, you know, I'd like to see him kind of come to grips with, clean up, and move on to the next level. I mean, listen, I think Penn State's going to be a very good team this year. I think they have a lot of opportunity. But I do think that he's got a lot of things that if he could show NFL scouts that he can do it, I think there's an opportunity for him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we transition this to our next player, and that is Shea Patterson. He's a guy I know you've been talking about for a while. He's at Michigan now. He's a junior. He's 6'1". He's 193 pounds. You know, last year at Ole Miss, he threw for 2,259 yards, a 63.8 completion percentage with 17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Matt, I know Patterson's been a guy who's been on your radar. You've been following his game closely. You want to give a few things that right off the cuff that you know about Patterson that you either like or are concerned about?
So, I mean, for me, the things that have always stood out about Shea Patterson is I think his arm strength is really tremendous. I think I don't care that he's 6'1", 193 pounds, just like I didn't really care too much about Trace McSorley that he was 6'1", 195 pounds. I just really don't take much stock in that as of right now, because when I watch a guy like Shea Patterson, I do see a player that can play on the big stage, on the NFL landscape. I can see him playing in that world, because the biggest things to me are, I think his arm strength and his arm talent is really good. I think it's good to very good in many ways. I think there's at times some issues with accuracy. I think that's got to improve, especially down the field. But I do think that he can throw the ball, like I said, from multiple arm angles. He really shows comfort managing the pocket. He can work in playoff structure. You know, he's got a lot of elements to his game that I think allow him to really be competitive at the next level. And I think he's a fearless runner. I think he's a fearless runner in the open field. I think he says, you know, to heck with the size that I am. I see a lot of a Russell Wilson style passer in his game. I see a lot of that going on with him. And I think, to be very honest with you, I think he's a guy who probably gets picked on, you know, the late day two, early day three. And I honestly believe that at some point he's going to have a chance to compete for either a backup or starting role.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Patterson's things that I think are most intriguing. You know, his athleticism, you know, I put it at good to very good mobility inside and outside the pocket to extend the plays, throw on the run comfortably, his ability to play off script and off structure. You know, you brought up Russell Wilson in terms of that. I see that as a quick delivery. I love that you brought up the multiple arm angles. I think that enables him, you know, to combat a little bit his size that he has, you know, that he is able to, you know, kind of contort his body and throw from different arm angles. You know, I do think his got the arm talent, like you said. I do think his accuracy, he's got to improve a little bit vertically down the field. I think he's got to show the ability to go for progressions a little bit more. I don't think he was asked to do that too much at Ole Miss. I think at Michigan, he's definitely going to be asked to do that. So I'm interested to see how he progresses there. I think he's got to hone in that aggressiveness a little bit. You know when to throw the ball away and live for another down in order to reduce the number of turnovers. But he shows an uncanny ability to play off structure when the play breaks down. Great competitive toughness. You know, I think he's best suited to play in an up-tempo, spread offense, moving the launch point, utilizing a lot of RPO-type concepts. I wrote down NFL role, backup quarterback, with the skill set to possibly develop into a starting caliber quarterback in the right system. I put Dave Free. I could see him having a big year in Michigan, though, and pushing his way into into the late part of day two as well there. So I think we see him pretty similar. I might have him a little bit further down my rankings because I want to take a little bit of a wait-and-see approach this year at Michigan to see how he looks. But he's a guy who I do think has some starting caliber traits, in his repertoire, so to speak. So Matt, before we continue this over, why don't you give us another word from our other new sponsor as well?
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing over at thequantedge.com is absolutely intriguing. I mean, we always talk on this show about context and how getting an understanding of context can be really important in the evaluation process. Well, to be very honest with you, context is tremendously important when we're talking about just anything in the community of fantasy or DFS. And DFS players especially really no more getting crushed by the pros. When thequantedge.com, you have the tools you need to play like a pro. They have lineup optimizers, an injury tool, wide receiver cornerback matchups, and a head-to-head tool. Honestly, you will be armed with everything you need each week to win. You can make up to 150 lineups in seconds. You can get a true understanding of a player's value. You can see the week's matchups so that way you can exploit what you think is best. And you can compare two players to help make you that decision that you need in order to win that week. It doesn't stop with groundbreaking tools. They also have over 10 industry experts on staff, and you also get exclusive access to over 20 betting and fantasy articles and podcasts a week, and can join the TQE community by participating in their premium membership chat. Honestly, being one of their affiliates, we at Saturday to Sunday Football actually have a very special deal for you guys. And really, it's only good till August 23rd. So it's really only good, again, for the next, 24 to 48 hours. If you use our promo code S2SEDGE, that's the letter S, the number 2, and the letter S followed by the word EDGE, S2SEDGE. If you use our promo code, you can get 15% off a season-long subscription, but you have to act fast again. It's over by Friday, so you have about 48 hours or so to kind of get that done. But honestly, their tools, I think, whether you play DFS, whether you play fantasy, or you're just a fan, they really do give you some insight, I think, that helps you enjoy the game a lot more. So check them out over at the Quantum or thequantedge.com.
Absolutely great stuff they got there. Great job, Elliot, Chris, and all the other guys they got there. I can't wait to be using their products this upcoming NFL season all year as well. So let's get right back into the quarterback. Let's continue this with Brett Rippon out of Boise State. He's a senior. He's 6'2". He's 208 pounds. Last year, he threw for 2,877 yards, 62.6 completion percentage, 16 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. You know, some strength of his experience production. He's been started there for multiple seasons, continues to put up solid production year in and year out. Competitive toughness and his release. Some concerns, obviously, I think he's got to add a little bit to his frame, to withstand the rigors of the NFL. His arm talent, to me, leaves a little bit to be desired. I saw average to below average in terms of velocity and strength. He's got to show the ability to make all NFL throws more consistently, including those vertical shots down the field and outside the numbers. In terms of his accuracy, I thought it was solid to good in the short to intermediate parts of the field, but must improve it when pushing the ball vertically. I did like his release. He possessed a quick and clean release to get the ball out quickly to his playmakers. Some other areas of concern, though, were his decision-making / poise. I think he's got to improve his ability to work through progressions when his first read is not open and needs to play with more poise and patience while facing pressure. He does show good competitive toughness, like I mentioned, willing to stand tall in the pocket under pressure and take a hit as he throws the football. To me, when I watched him play, I thought he's a West Coast-style spread or timing-based passing offense that gets the ball out quickly in the short to intermediate range to its playmakers. I thought he was a third-string / practice squad quarterback to start with some tools maybe develop into a possible backup down the line. I put a grade on him as a day three / UDFA prospect. Any thoughts on Rippon? I thought, I didn't see, you heard about him for a while. We've watched Boise State games. I thought maybe I was going to see a little bit more on film than I thought in terms of liking his ability to transfer to the NFL level. I came away a little bit underwhelmed in terms of what I saw. Any different what you saw?
No, I think Rippon is an intriguing player. I think there are elements to his game, but I do think that he ends up settling in a little bit more along that day three kind of UDFA track, where I think he's going to get absolutely a chance to succeed in the NFL and play in the NFL. But I think there are just, I think there just are some limitations in terms of what he can do with the ball in his hands. And honestly, I think a timing-based system is probably best for him, something where he can use that mental processing skills to really elevate his anticipation and play speed overall as a quarterback. I think that's where he's suited best, and I think that's where he's going to end up kind of living best. And with that in mind, Paul, I think I'm going to take this really to a player that I know I'm excited about moving on to the next quarterback, and that's Jarrett Stidham, number 8 from Auburn. He's a redshirt junior. He's 6'2", 214 pounds, and last year he had 3,158 yards, good for a 66.5 completion percentage, 18 touchdowns to just 6 interceptions. When you kind of break down the strengths and weaknesses of a guy like Jarrett Stidham, I think the first thing that jumps off the page is we know Drew Lock may have the elite arm, but Jarrett Stidham's arm is no joke. He has a very good arm as well. He has very good arm. He has a very good arm talent to go with it. And I think his accuracy to all levels of the field are absolutely outstanding. I think the biggest issues with some of the biggest issues that arise with Jarrett Stidham is at times I don't know how comfortable he is moving through his progressions in the pocket. I think he's at his best when he hits the top of his drop and that first read is there, and when he hitches up, that second read is there. I think that when he has to extend the play and he has to move outside the pocket, I think he has the physical capabilities to do that, but I just don't know if that's really the strength of his game. He has a very good and I love that you always talk about trying to compare and using comps as a stylistic approach, but I think the idea that he throws the ball very well, meaning he's just an effortless release, is something that really I haven't seen that since players like I guess some of the best players I can think of right now coming out. I mean, I think you use an idea. You said to me somebody like Josh Rosen was somebody you thought was an effortless passer. Well, it's not that far off for him. I think he can do those things. But I think Jarrett Stidham, I think people have to remember the context with which he played in last year. He was coming into a system where they really weren't passing initially. They were kind of developing their passing game. They were opening up their playbook, and they were starting to kind of create this passing scheme around them. Because again, Gus Malzahn and Auburn is not normally a passing team. So it's almost a testament to how good Jarrett Stidham is that by the end of the year, he still had over 3,000 yards. And now this year, I expect him to take another meteoric step in the right direction. I find it hard not to have Jarrett Stidham at the tippy tops of these rankings, because I think of what he's going to be able to bring to the NFL and what he could bring to the position. And I think he is one of the best passers in the country.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a lot of the things that I saw. I would even throw in there another strength is competitive toughness. I saw him sometimes take standing tall in the pocket, taking hits consistently, willing to throw. I do think one area where I'd like to see some improvement is I did think he's got to show a little bit more poise that when facing that pressure, he either took a bad sack at times, or sometimes, needed to see the pressure a little bit and handle it a little bit better, maybe like step up or step to the side, and throw the ball away. I think at times, he held on to the ball too long, took a bad sack. So I think he's got to be able to handle that a little bit better. But overall, I think this is a guy who you mentioned, Josh Rosen. I see that natural throwing motion, release, delivery, arm talent. Again, he's not going to be a guy. He's an average athlete. I don't see a guy who's going to play great when the play breaks down, or anything like that. I think a Josh Rosen stylistically makes a lot of sense. I think he's going to be a very natural, traditional pocket passing quarterback. I think maybe he has slightly better athleticism than a Josh Rosen, which I think what makes him so intriguing, because he's playing in an offense, a spread offense that incorporates a lot of RPO, zone read concepts. I think this is a guy who can play in a pro style offense, to be honest with you. Utilizes a lot of play action passes, attacks the ball vertically down the field consistently. I don't think he has to play in an up tempo or a spread style offense. I think his game translates to more a traditional style offense as well. So he's going to have some, obviously experience playing in a different style offense. But I do think he's a guy where we often see a guy come to the NFL and we want to try to create coordinators want to create offense that caters to his skill sets, kind of what they're doing in Houston for Deshaun Watson. I think what Cleveland's eventually going to do for Baker Mayfield. I don't think that when Jarrett Stidham gets to the NFL, an NFL offense is going to have to say, we got to do what they did at Auburn, because I don't think that suits Jarrett Stidham's best skill set. So I think he's a franchise quarterback type talent. I think he's a round one guy. He's going to be up towards the top of my rankings, when I unveil them towards the end as well. So, Matt, I'm going to actually pass this back to you to do our next guy, because I know you're a little bit intrigued by him. I think maybe more than I am. And this is a guy you were telling me a little bit about last year, that when he took over for Shea Patterson, he was impressing you a little bit. What's your thoughts on Jordan Tamu from Ole Miss? Senior, 6'2", 212 pounds. After he took the job over last year, he threw for 1,682 yards, 66.5% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and rushed for 165 yards and 4 touchdowns.
So Jordan Ta'amu was a player that obviously took over for Shea Patterson last year. So his totals don't necessarily represent a full season, nor do they represent a full probably compilation of snaps with the starters, even in practices and in preseason. So this is going to be our first chance to see Jordan Ta'amu after a full offseason of kind of being the starter. Now he's the starter. He's had those preparatory reps. He's had those compilation of reps. And now I think we're kind of writing a story where we're going to see exactly whether he is, intriguing or a mirage. For me, I think I'm going to say this right now, and to the heck with everything, Paul, I think he is the most underrated passer in the country. And I'm not afraid of saying that, because I think when I watched him last year, there were just elements, things that hints of it, right? Projectable hints of it that you saw. It's not his size. We've already talked about my feelings on size. I don't care. 6'2", 212, fine. You're good. That doesn't bother me at all. But I think he shows very good athleticism, right? I think his athleticism when he's playing the position is on full display, whether he's outside the pocket, moving off structure or he's moving within the pocket. You see a player who's always within balance, always able to adjust and reestablish his platform. He's able to throw from various arm angles. I see a player who really does have above average to good arm talent. And I think when it comes to his ability to distribute the football quickly, that's a very important, that is a very important piece of Phil Longo's kind of up-tempo air raid style system. That's what Phil Longo likes to do. The ball has to be kind of in and out very quickly. And again, that air raid style system does mean that they're practicing a lot of these routes over and over and over again. So to Amu, having these compilation of snaps that he had in the offseason, we'll have a chance to see his timing and how his timing kind of meshes, for better or worse, this upcoming season. But when I watched him, I thought his short to intermediate accuracy was really right there. I thought he had good mechanics. I think his overall delivery was smooth. You know, he's not a guy that had to read a lot of coverages, right? I think they kept things simple last year. I think they were just trying to get him to distribute the football so that way they can keep their offense on time and be competitive. This year, I think we're going to see Ta'amu take more on his plate as a quarterback. And you saw that in the spring game, Paul. He looked lights out in the spring game. Lights out. He was just distributing the football, putting great positioning, putting it on the face mask on slant routes, putting it inside and over the shoulder on deep routes. He looked really, really good. I'm going to tell you right now, if we're going to base it off last year, probably not looking at a player that you would kind of peg for more than a backup role. This year, I'm just saying to everybody, just wait. Just wait to see if you think he can play. Because my personal opinion is, I think he's going to catapult himself into a day two, late day two type of world. And I think you're going to hear people talking about that he may have a chance to be a developmental or potential caliber starter at the NFL level. And I know that's crazy, but man, watching him play, I think there was a few in the country that I thought were as smooth of a leader as he was.
Yeah, listen, I think I share in your enthusiasm in terms of what this year could bring. You know, I think a full year of him, you know, I think we're going to get an opportunity to get a better idea of how he does handling reading coverages, his progression reading, his ability, you know, to, you know, show, you know, that arm talent even more, you know, because when I saw it, I thought he did have the arm talent to make every NFL throw. I saw it already. His willingness to push the ball vertically down the field, outside the numbers, in the contested situations. So you already see that. You already see his athleticism. You see good accuracy. You see good releasing mechanics. That a lot of that stuff, a lot of those raw traits, you see already. So now it's the intelligence, the decision making that we need to see a full year. Because we're not saying he can't do it. We're saying we need to see improvement in that and refinement because it was such a limited sample space last year. You know, I think he's best suited to play in an up-tempo spread offense, a lot of RPO concepts. I think you could do some zone read with him as well. I wrote down third string quarterback with a chance to develop into a backup quarterback or low-end starter down the line. I put Dave Brees because it's based on what right now, but I do think he's a guy that has some upward mobility that by the draft season comes around, you know, we could be talking about him in a different light, and he's a senior. So we want Brutus. There's not a ton of guys here, you know, in this. There's a couple guys here or there. He's going to have a chance to be playing, you know, it probably at the Senior Bowl, worst case at the East-West Shrine game. But I think he's a guy that could have a little bit of a rise this year during the season and then in the post-draft process, the pre-draft process as well. So really excited to see kind of where, you know, this season goes for him. And let's finish it off with the last guy of the evening, and that's Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern. He's a redshirt senior. He's 6'3", 225 pounds. Last year, he threw for 2,844 yards, 60.4 completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Some things that stick out, obviously he's got that size and frame, if that's something important to you, but he at least checks those boxes of what some NFL teams we know obviously are looking for. He's got experience as a multi-year starter. He's got good mechanic, and he's got, you know, his arm talent plus. I see average to good arm talent in terms of velocity and strength. I think he's got the arm talent to make every NFL throw, but to me, he's more comfortable in the short intermediate parts of the field. I think my biggest concern right off the bat is accuracy. I think his accuracy, you need to show improvement at all levels of the field, especially vertically down the field. I think the 60.4 number is a little misleading. I saw a lot of instances where I did not see an accurate passer with consistency that I need to see this year. I also think he's got to show an improvement going through his progressions to find his second or third options, reading coverages to help reduce the number of interceptions. Obviously, you know, 15 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, you know, is not the type of production we want to see. I think he lacks poise when facing pressure, which leads to sacks and or turnovers. To me, I was expecting a little bit more, to be frankly honest with you, you know, because I feel like we've heard about him. I felt like there was some talk that he might come out last year early. I didn't really see a guy, you know, with day one or day two traits. I saw a guy, third string, practice squad, quarterback to start, maybe down the line he could develop into a backup quarterback. I saw like a late day three type prospect, you know, that could maybe go, you know, round six, round seven, and unless we see a big improvement this year, maybe he can push his way, you know, up the board a little bit. But I didn't see what I thought maybe I was going to see from hearing other things, you know, other people talk about him. Maybe I'm just down on him a little bit more than other people, but I didn't see as much as I thought for a guy who I thought was maybe getting some hype as maybe like a day two guy at times, even last year. I didn't see that. Matt, did you see him any differently? Obviously, you know, plays, you know, for Northwestern, you know, Big Ten football. What was your take on him?
Honestly, when it comes down to Clayton Thorson and things that I was looking for in terms of his abilities, you know, there really wasn't much that you didn't touch on. I thought the biggest things that you talked about, obviously, is the size and the decision making. I think the size himself, obviously, we're ready. We're right there. We don't really care, but he's right there anyway in that world. I thought the arm talent was still very intriguing. I thought the accuracy to all levels of the field, again, need to be showing improvement. I think that poise, again, when facing pressure, I thought those were good elements. I think those are things that we need to kind of pay attention to. I think as the world around him gets more and more congested throughout the duration of a play, how does he handle himself off structure? How does he handle himself when he needs to make a play and the bullets are flying around him? Those were opportunities and things where I didn't really feel like he was at his best. And I think coming into this season, like you said, there's more projectability surrounding Thorson than probably a lot of people care to admit or care to acknowledge. But he was a player, like you said, last year that there was some hype around, and now we're going to see him into this year. You know, I'm hoping the best for him. I mean, he is a redshirt senior, but I think the arm talent is something you easily can see. It jumps off the page at you. You can see the velocity, you see the strength. I think in terms of his ability to make the throws, really no issue in terms of making NFL throws. He's got good, quick, easy, clean mechanics. His release is fine. No issues there. I think the biggest thing is, how do we handle and how do we manage the pocket when all of a sudden the play and the duration of the route tree suddenly start to stutter and we don't have everybody getting open because of collisions, when players are getting collision mid-stem? How do we handle, manage, and give ourselves a little extra time to make those plays downfield? So I think those things could end up being the reason why he's more of a day three guy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So it'll be interesting to see. Listen, a year for a quarterback can do a lot with these guys in terms of moving up and down. I mean, we try to bring you as detailed an analysis on film that we have available to us, you know, a whole year earlier than maybe they're even going to be at, sometimes 2 years before they're going to be in the NFL draft, you know, to try to make a projection on where they're going to go in the NFL draft. You know, I mean, it's hard to make a projection when we're a few months away, let alone, you know, like before their season even starts, you know, a scheme, but things can change a lot. So, you know, listen, we want all these guys to be successful. Every single guy that, you know, I say day three UDFA, I hope they prove me wrong and I hope they go first round. Like, you know, that's what we're hoping for all of these guys.
But you know what, Paul, I think there was a really good point that's constantly made. If you go to the NFL, I don't care if you're day three UDFA practice squad, if you go to an NFL team and you play for an NFL franchise, you're one of the top, like, 1% of players that ever played the game. Like, you're talking about the elite of the elite. So, yeah, we're trying to literally make prognosticating what these guys are amongst the best of the best. And that is a challenge. And especially at the quarterback position with the film that we have access to, it's super challenging. So I think that any of these guys, you're going to the NFL. A lot of you guys that we talked about tonight are going to the NFL. It's just honestly, and for that reason, you're playing at a mastery level of skill that few ever achieve in their athletic lifetime.
I think that's a great point that sometimes, you know, is lost in discussion of these college prospects and transition over to the NFL. I mean, we're just trying to paint the picture, like, you know, some strengths, weaknesses. It's just what we see. And again, we have limited film compared to, you know, NFL talent evaluators see as well. So here's a quick draft eligible watch list for some other quarterbacks. We talked about 17 over these two episodes, but there's other ones that should be on your radar. Obviously, Kelly Bryant out of Clemson, he's a senior. Kenny, you know, hold off Trevor Lawrence, the freshman. I don't know if that's going to happen. Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State, redshirt sophomore. He's the one I'm maybe most excited about on this list to see him in action for a full year. Josh Jackson out of Virginia Tech, another redshirt sophomore. Tanner Mangum out of BYU, he's a senior. Mackenzie Milton out of South Florida, he's a junior. He really fun player. If you watched him last year on UCF's run, you saw a guy who was a lot of fun to watch. Nate Stanley out of Iowa, he's a junior. Easton Stick of North Dakota State, he's a redshirt senior who's getting a lot of hype as another guy from a small level school. You know, we've seen them produce Carson Wentz. Khalil Tate out of Arizona, the athletic kid, he's a junior, and Manny Wilkins out of Arizona State, who's a redshirt senior. So those are some other guys, another eight or so guys, nine guys that should be on your radar as draft eligible prospects as well. Matt, a few underclassmen names or sophomores, freshmen that we should have on our radar that maybe could be playing this year, or maybe eventually get the ball.
Paul, I got to tell you something. You and I talk about this all the time as Giant fans, right? Like, what are we going to do at quarterback? You know, we're not really sure. You know, hopefully this thing with Davis Webb works out. Well, what did I tell you after the draft? I said, just hold out. Hold out. Can we hold out two more years? Because if we can, I think there is help on the horizon for everybody in the NFL who's looking for a quarterback or feels unsettled. There are players on the horizon that I think are going to set the world by storm. So if you play in Devy leagues, if you play in any type of league where you have a deep taxi squad, these are some quarterbacks that you really got to look at from an underclassman perspective. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, outstanding. Justin Fields, Georgia. Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. His brother, Tualia, will be coming to Alabama probably as well. He's another great quarterback. Okay, Jake Fromm from Georgia. Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA. He's a player I really like. JT Daniels, absolutely a stud. We talked about in this series, we talked about how Jake Bentley foregoed his senior year in high school to go and play in college. So he was a young freshman playing in college. Well, JT Daniels is exactly the same thing. He foregoed his senior year at Mater Dei, and now he's going to be potentially a starting quarterback as a 17-year-old freshman at USC. Imagine that. That sounds like a dream. So JT Daniels as well, and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins is very good. We saw a little bit of him last year, man. I think Dwayne Haskins is a player that we're going to all be sitting down and going, Dwayne Haskins is really good. We might want to take him on our team. He's a guy who could end up catapulting himself into the discussion for a lot of franchises. He's very intriguing. So Dwayne Haskins is another player I would tell you to keep on your burners as well. I think that the class that's coming up is star-studded, to say the least, at the position. We talked about the running back position. I think the quarterback position has a chance down the line to have a year like next year's running back position.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, we both there talked about Dwayne Haskins, because I think sometimes it's lost in translation that he is a redshirt sophomore. You know, I see him coming out if he has a great year? Probably not as a redshirt sophomore. But he is technically draft eligible. I talked about him. You talked about him. He's on both of our radars. He should be on your radar as well. I think he might be the most natural quarterback. You know, he's got the athleticism too, but I think he might be the most natural thrower also that Ohio State's had there in quite some time as well. You know, better than the Braxton Millers, the JT Barretts. You know, I think Haskins can throw the ball, and I think we're going to see the total package from him this year. So let's round out tonight's episode with my quarterback ranks. You know, I'll say this. I think this, I can easily break this down into some tiers too. So I'll kind of tell you how I have it. At number one is Justin Herbert out of Oregon. And at number two is Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn. To me, they're in their own little tier right now, as I think those are the guys that stood out to me as top 10 type talents. I think those are guys that intrigue me the most. My next little small tier at number three is Drew Locke, and number four is Will Greer. I think those are guys, you know, that could be on the round one radar as well, if not early round two. You know, so it would be interesting to see if there's any movement in those four guys. Those are four guys that I think could at least be considered in round one, whether it's top 10 or, you know, mid to late round one. So it'd be interesting to see if there's much movement with those guys during the year. Then number five is Ryan Finley out of NC State. He's kind of in his own tier for me as a clear cut, you know, day two prospect. Solid guy, you know, who I think could be a starter in the NFL. Then after that, it's really hard right now for the next group of guys. You know, I'm almost going to say 6 to 11 here, and I'll call it a night there with my top 11. But it's number 6 is DeAndre Francois out of Florida State. Number 7 is Brian Lewerke out of Michigan State. Number 8 is Nick Fitzgerald out of Mississippi State. Number 9 is Jake Bentley out of South Carolina. Number 10 is Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo. Number 11 is Shea Patterson out of Michigan. And throw in one more. Number 12 is Jordan Timu from Ole Miss. I think 6 to 12, I think there could be a lot of movement during this year. I think all those guys can be day three prospects, but I do think there's one or two in there that could jump up and potentially go on day two as well. I think there's questions with all of them. Does Francois even play this year? Has he transitioned to a new offense? Does Lewerke take the next step? Does Nick Fitzgerald show improvement in his accuracy, you know, and overall decision-making? How does Jake Bentley look this year? What about Tyree Jackson? We already talked recently about Shea Patterson now at Michigan, and then Jordan Tamu, you know, at Ole Miss. How do they develop? I think 6 to 12, completely a mixed bag right now. You know, I think anyone could rank them in any order, and I'm like, yeah, I could totally see it, totally agree with it. I know for me, it was hard to even rank 6 to 12 watching all of these guys really closely. So I think that is like a whole tier in itself, that a lot of movement, you know, between that tier could happen. It'll be really fascinating to see if anybody can jump into the next tier and kind of move up there with the Ryan Finley, or really make a big jump and jump into that round one mix with the four guys I mentioned. Matt, any quick thoughts of maybe, you know, a handful of guys who, I know you haven't finalized your ranks, but a couple of guys who maybe would be at your top, and then we'll wrap this up in the next minute or so?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been no secret. I'm still working on my quarterback evaluations and rankings. I'm still at a point where I'm trying to mix these guys up, see where they all settle. But right now I got Jarrett Stidham at number one and Justin Herbert at number two, followed by Will Greer at number three. I've got Drew Locke at number four, and I've got Ryan Finley right now at number five. But I'll give you my 6 and 7 and eight, because those are guys that I do like. Brian Lewerke at 6, Bentley at 7, and Patterson at 8. You know, those are guys that I think, and like you said, all the way through, really the top 10 to 12 players, as I start kind of mishmashing my players together. I like the Jordan Te'amus right now. I have him at number 10, but I think these are guys that could catapult themselves into a much, much bigger discussion after this year. Again, DeAndre Francois, what happens with him? He's right now at number 9, or not right now at number 9 for me. So what happens to him? So I don't know where these guys all settle. I'm fairly confident and where I got some of my top five guys. But again, where does the dust settle? We'll see how this ends up going as the evaluations finish and as we get started into the season.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, these quarterback shows are great. You know, this followed up our running backs and wide receiver discussions. I mean, 3 wide receiver shows, 2 running back shows, 2 quarterback shows. Those 7 shows, man, you listen to them, you are ready for the college football season in terms of the offensive side of the ball. You're ready for your Devy leagues, you know, making trades, you know, doing things there. And we're not done. Next week, we have our tight end show. We have our week 1/season preview show. We're also going to talk about our new format for during the college football season. I think you guys are really going to like that. And then also next week, it's the unveiling, the premium notebooks, the second edition of it, the 2019 Saturday, Sunday premium notebooks. We'll have a launch show for that as well. You know, so we're really looking forward to all the great things on the horizon. We are about a week and a day or two away from the first Saturday of college football season. A lot of games kick off, you know, a week from today. You know, on Thursday, Friday night, we have games. It's a great opening weekend of the college football season. And hopefully we take you along for the ride as well. And you're listening, you know, week in and week out. So on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.